on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph and the Mishnah. We're going to deal with two Muktzah issues which we actually mentioned when we did the Simchas Yom Tov discussion.
Right.
When we went through that whole series of cases with Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So we'll have the chopping block and the animal hide. The chopping block first. Beis Shammai Omrim, Einotlin es ha'eli lakatzev alav basar u'beis Hillel matirin. Beis Shammai says, you can't take an Eli. An Eli, according to Rashi, actually not Rashi here, but we saw it back on Yudam and Aleph, is a block that's used to crush grain, not for cutting meat. So crushing grain is something that you're not going to do on Yom. Well, I'm already assuming my conclusion. I should not. So let me not go further into why it's Muktzah. But it's a block that's used for chopping and crushing grain. And you're not allowed to take it to chop meat. Beis Hillel matir, and Beis Hillel says, yes, you are allowed to. That's number one. Then, number two, the second point that they make is the animal hide. I'm going to come back to the block. We're not done with it yet. Beis Shammai Omrim Einosnin es ha'or lifnei hador san. Beis Shammai says, you're not supposed to put the hide from an animal that you shechted on Yom Tov in front of the Dor San. Now, Dor San sounds like singular, somebody whose job it is almost to trample something, but it's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about, as we saw when this case came up earlier, is putting it out in a place where people in general are going to trample it. The difference between the two is that if it's somebody that I hire, there's actually someone doing this intentionally for a job, that raises other problems. You're not allowed to tan hides on Yom Tov. But what we're talking about is just regular street traffic.
Why does it matter whether it's shechted on Yom Tov or not?
Well, the argument that I would make is, based on what we're about to see, that the rationale for allowing someone to do this is because if you don't, he's going to be hesitant about shechting in the first place. He's going to say, I don't want to sheft an animal and lose the hide.
So you don't trample it.
It won't be
someone who knows leather. So.
Yeah. So that's the concern. So if he shechted it the day before, then it's his problem for not taking care of it. So Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to put it out in front of where people walk to trample it. The reason having nothing to do with trampling, but having to do, again, with it being muktzah. As we'll see.
So it's not the trampling. It's not that you're preparing it.
Nope. That part is what we're willing to override. That's easy. But you can't even pick the thing up because it's muktzah. Elem ken yesh imo, or olav perhaps, kezayis basar. Unless it has an olive-sized amount of meat. They note in the margin, the Yerushalmi doesn't say olive-sized amount. The Yerushalmi's edition of the Mishnah just says it has to have meat on it. In order for it to be okay, because then it's not muktzah because the hide is serving the meat that is attached to it. Beis Hillel matir, and Beis Hillel says, no, even without the meat, you're allowed to do this. We're not concerned about it being a muktzah issue. So,
you're saying that to both?
Correct. Whether it has the... Beis Hillel is allowing both, but he had a separate line regarding the resha. Beis Hillel matir was in the resha separately. So, going back to the chopping block, what exactly is the muktzah status of this block? If I take a look at Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi here on our Mishnah, on Eli, he says, Malachto li'isur lichtosh b'machteshes. It is used for a prohibited purpose to chop up the grain with your whatever implement you're using to chop it up. So the key is that it is used for a prohibited purpose, which is why Beis Shammai says you can't do this. So from Rashi, it's a klisha malachta le'isur. Right? That's fairly straightforward. Yeah.
No, but I can use a hammer if I set it up to be a nutcracker.
Good.
I can use other things like a paperweight.
So Tosfos asks your question. Tosfos einotlin ha'eli. He says, v'tema. You see the second Tosfos there. He says, I'm surprised. Alan is surprised. Hatsarech legufa. It is needed for itself. That's what we call it when you want to use it for a permitted purpose. V'chol kli shatsarech legufa o limekomo. And anytime you have a kli that you need to use for for itself, or because you need the space for that matter, afilu malachto le'isser, even if its normal task is prohibited, notzlin oso b'yom tov. You are allowed to move it on Yom Tov. So what's the issue here? Why is it that you're telling me that I wouldn't be allowed to? And v'yesh lomar. So he says, you could say, the Bepera Kol HaKelim, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Gimel, where they discuss the Kli Shemalachto Le'iser, Mokmina Le'ben Mokta Sheyesh Bo Chisaron Kis. He says, the Gemara in Shabbos actually doesn't say that it's a Kli Shemalachto Le'iser, or that it's only Kli Shemalachto Le'iser. Rather, it establishes that what we're talking about is something that is Mokta Machmas Chisaron Kis, literally Mokta because of loss of value, or a loss out of pocket, literally. And what they mean is, Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis refers to items that are, number one, fragile, and number two, expensive. Because remember what Mukta comes back to in the first place. Mukta means an item I didn't expect to handle on Shabbos, or in this case, Yom Tov. So there are many reasons why I might think I'm not handling that, and one of them is, if I have something that's fragile, and I don't want it to break, because it's going to cost me something if it does, or it's very important to me, then I plan on not moving it. I plan on leaving it exactly where it is. That's Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. So this block that you have, I laugh when I read it, because it can't be too fragile if you're using it to pound grain and how to, you know, to chop meat on it. But evidently, you're careful about this, and you don't want to drop it. And therefore, it's Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. The Gemara in Shabbos says that, oh, Toz actually continues to say it, the Kuli Amamodu Da'asr, which everybody would agree. If it's like Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis, everybody agrees you can't move it, even though you're going to use it for a permitted purpose. Doesn't matter. Kigon, Sichi Vizairi Umazori, the Kapit Alayhu. He says, it's like Sichi Zairi Umazori. Sichi Zairi Umazori are utensils used by dyers or weavers, and depending on which explanation you read on the Gemara in Shabbos. So there they compare the chopping block to these implements, dekapit alayhu, which are instruments that people are very careful with. They don't want to move them. So it's in that class. In other words, the chopping block is not kli shemalachto le'iser, rather it's mukta machmas chisaron kis. That's the idea. Ubeis Hillel, Shematirin, and as far as Beis Hillel says you are allowed to, Hainu Davka Mishum Simchas Yom Tov, Kidem Mefarish B'Gemara. That's because he wants to make sure that you will shech the animal and have a Yom Tov meal. So that's the position of Tosfos. The Pnei Yoshua offers a different answer on your sheet in Source Aleph. He says, Divrei Tosfos Kan Tzarich Iyun. He says, Tosfos here requires analysis. D'may pshita lahu d'beis shamay savri d'kli shem lachto le'iser l'tzarech gufo shari. He says, why does he assume that beis shamay in fact believes that you're allowed to move a kli shem lachto le'iser if you're going to use it for a permitted purpose? Why does he assume that? Dilma perhaps savri k'rabi Nechemya. D'oser tilto b'chol ha'kelem im lo l'tashmish ha'miyuchad lahem. Rabbi Nechemya has a different point of view. We've been taking the view that, in fact, Beis Hillel says that if I have, to give Alan's case, if I have a hammer, hammers are also usable to smash nuts, therefore I'm allowed to move it. But not everybody agrees with that. There's another view which says that the only time I'm allowed to move something for a permitted purpose, even though it has a prohibited purpose, is where its normal use is the permitted use. It is miyuchad for that purpose. I'm not allowed to move a hammer for the sake of smashing nuts, according to Rabbi Nechemya. Ve'eli l'katzev lav tashmish ha-miyuchad lohu. Well, this block is meant for grain. It's not miyuchad. It's not set aside for chopping meat. V'hainu disharu b'tav ragami mishum tashmish ha-miyuchad lohu. Which is why there in the Gemara they talk about something that is used to smash meat and bones, and there you're allowed to, because it's designated for that purpose. So Pnei Yoshua asks, Maybe it really is Kli Shemalachto Le'iser, and Beis Shammai is following Rabbi Nechemya, who's more restrictive regarding what you can do with a Kli Shemalachto Le'iser. Why do you have to assume that it's a Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis case? So the Pnei Yoshua himself gives the answer based on what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara's opening line, if you jump into the Gemara for 1 second, because otherwise what he's going to say won't make any sense. The Gemara says, Tana, going back to the chopping block case, Vishavin, they agree, they meaning Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Shem Kitzev Alav Basar, Sha'asr Lataltalo. I'm going to translate this the way that it should be translated, even though it's a little strange. But the Gemara says, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that once you have already cut the meat on it, meaning there's no meat left to cut, You're not allowed to move the thing. That's the opening line of the Gemara. Okay, then the Gemara's going to ask, isn't that obvious, and so on. We'll see what this is. We'll see what that's about. But the point is, if you take a look now in Bnei Yehoshua, he says, "V'hanira lefiyani is daiti bazeh." In my humble opinion, it appears that you could say the following: "Liyashiv shita satosvos to justify tosvos." Dimashma lehu baal karchach taima de eli mishum chisaron kis. They have another reason why it has to be muktamach mas chisaron kis. Even if you could answer that Beishamai follows Rabbi Nechemia, you'd still have another reason to say it's chisaron kis. Why? De isalka daitach taima de Beishamai mishum de malachto li isur letzarach gufo asur. If you're going to tell me that Beishamai's reasoning is that it's a klisha malachto li isur, and therefore, you can't move it, even Litzarach Gufo. He follows Rabbi Nechemia. Amai Oser Beis Hillel Achash HaKitzev Kediksani V'Shavin. Why would Beis Hillel say, I'm not allowed to move it after I have chopped meat? As the Gemara said in the opening line, V'Shavin, that they all agree that you're not allowed to move it. Hala Beis Hillel Afilu Malachto Le'Isser Shari Litzarach Gufo La'Abaye Ula Rava Braid Rabbi Yossi, Afilu Tzarech Mekomo. Beis Hillel believes that you are allowed to move a klisha malachto le'isser, either to use it, or just to use its space. So in other words, what he's saying is, the opening line in the Gemara seems to say that Beis Hillel agrees that once you've cut the meat on it, you're not allowed to move this block. However, if it's a klisha malachto le'isser, Beis Hillel should not agree with Beis Shammai, even once you've cut up the meat. If I have meat from yesterday, I should be allowed to cut it on it. There's absolutely nothing wrong.
So therefore, that's why you have to have
him say. There we have to say, it's Machmas Chisaron Kis. Precisely. You follow?
But if, okay, if he'll let permit it to be cut on it, okay, for Beit Hillel.
Yeah.
For Sarach Makom, all of a sudden it's Muksa again, once the meat's all cut.
What are you saying? Yeah, sure, you're saying Gemara. But the Gemara sounds, well, yes. If it's Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis, then
you shouldn't have been allowed to use it to start off.
Right, the only thing that allowed me to do it, right?
Door is open.
Sure, do you
have it?
Okay. If it's mukta machmas chisaron kis, then what that means is even if it's, I'm sorry, correct, we allowed it for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov, because we wanted to make sure you would shecht. But once you've shechted, it's okay.
If you want to open the Chisaron Kis, it's permitted.
Only for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov.
Okay.
And then it's over. Then you're back to being Aser.
And what if you need the Makom for Simchas Yom Tov?
If I need the Makom, I can move it anyway.
Right.
The only Simchas Yom Tov case that he gave us, this is a good question. In other words, can I expand? Once you're telling me that Beis Hillel says I'm allowed to move the chopping block because of Simchas Yom Tov being able to...
The picture of the alien here, it's not a small thing. It's like a huge thing.
Okay. But the heter that Beis Hillel is giving is, we want you to be able to use this chopping block so that you will shecht, so that you will have meat, right? That's an extreme case of Simchas Yom Tov. So the question I would ask is, well, what about other Simchas Yom Tov uses? That's what you're asking. Is it just this application of Simchas Yom Tov, or is it a broader Simchas Yom Tov? Right. And the answer is, from here, all we have is our case, and I don't know about going any further than that.
There's no concept of that. In other words, I don't know how much a tangly weighs, but based on the picture here, it looks like a massive thing.
Yeah. So it hasn't been raised here. No one has raised the Tircha question. Yeah. So what we've said is, again, you're not supposed to move this eli, this block that's meant for grain. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to move it even to cut the meat that you just shechted. Even if that means you end up not shechting, that's the way it goes. And Beis Hillel permits. Rashi seemed to indicate it's a klisha malachto le'isser. You're not allowed to move it because it's normally used for a purpose that you're not allowed to use it for on Yom Tov, crushing the grain. And Beis Hillel, Tosfos disagrees and says that it's actually because it's muktzah machmas chisaron kis. because it's a valuable and fragile thing. That's why you don't. That's why you don't move it. Okay, Bnei Yehoshua aside. The Rif and the Shulchan Aruch follow the position of Rashi that it's a kli shemalach to leisur. If you take a look at source Beis on your sheet, the Rif on our Gemara, Tana, he's commenting on the opening line in the Gemara, which we already took a look at. Vishavin shim kitzev alav basar sha'asr l'taltalo. Everybody agrees that if you chopped meat on it, you're not allowed to move the thing. V'hani mili mechama l'tzeil. That is specifically moving it from sun to shade. Avol l'tzarech gufo, l'tzarech mekomo mutter, but you are allowed to move it for its place, and you are allowed to use it for a permitted purpose. That's fine. So they're saying, what he's saying is, you can't move it for its own protection. That's the sun to shade thing. And that's consistent with klisha malach tole isser. You're not allowed to move a klisha malach tole isser in order to protect it from sunlight. You feel like the sun's going to warp the wood or whatever it is. Too bad. But you are allowed to move it. Letzarach gufa, letzarach makomo. That's exactly what we say with a klisha malach tole isser. So the Rif is clearly siding with Rashi that that's what this is. The Shulchan Aruch as well, if you take a look at Source Gimel, Eli Shudaf Av Kaved, right? The Eli is a...
The power says Kaved.
Oh yeah, yes. It is thick, it is heavy, ukliu, and it's a kli. Elishem lachto le'isr, just like Rashi said, its use is prohibited. Lichtosh bo harifos, it is used to chop up pieces of grain. Mutter le'tantel le'katzev alav basar, so you're allowed to move it in order to chop meat. U'la'achash ha'kitzev alav, asr le'tantel le'mechama le'tzel. But after you've used it already, then you can't move it just to move it from sun to shade. It reverts to its mukta status. And then the parenthetical comment, you are allowed to move it to Achgufo Makomo, just like the Rif said. So they're siding with Rashi. So what am I going to do with the question that the Pnei Yehoshua asked, that it can't be Malachto Le'isser, because the Gemara says everybody agrees you can't move it once the cutting is over? Their answer will be, no, it's not talking about all kinds of moving. It's talking about Mechama Le'tzel, from sun to shade, which will apply regarding a kli shemalach tole isser as well.
Why are you saying that the Rif is definitely like Rashi?
Because he says, because he makes the statement that you're allowed to move it, letzarach gufo, letzarach makomo.
Right.
If it was musa machmas lisaron kis, you wouldn't be allowed to.
If we extend the concept of simchas yamtov,
you're still assuming that all uses are simchas yamtov.
That's right.
I'm not assuming that.
Okay.
Simchas Yom Tov does not mean anything that makes me happy on Yom Tov. It's the fulfillment of this mitzvah directly, like having the meat for the meal.
But we have cases where, let's say if there's straw or other things that you want to make room for people to sit, you're allowed
to make Shabbos.
Would that also apply to Yom Tov?
So I'm not sure it would, because Oneg and Simcha are actually two different halachic concepts. The oneg is that which makes you happy. So, for example, most poskim, not everybody, surprise, but most poskim say that you fulfill oneg Shabbos at a Shabbos meal when you eat that which you enjoy. So there's no obligation of eat meat, per se. You could eat whatever makes you happy. There's even, to take it to the extreme, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, is that if a person is miserable and upset about something, such that eating actually makes him feel worse, and he'd be happier if he could fast, like someone had the classic case, they had a frightening dream Friday night, and he's completely out of sorts, and he wants to take on a tannis, and that's what's going to make him feel better. He wants to fast. I had this happen once. When I was interning in Englewood, New Jersey, the shul there, Rabbi Golden Shul, Avas Torah, so they have like 7 different minyanim on a Shabbos morning, and I would rotate and speak at a different minyan each Shabbos. So that Shabbos, I happened to be speaking at the Sephardic minyan. And Shabbos morning, there's a fellow there, he's an Egyptian or Syrian, I forget, comes over to me very agitated, very upset. He had this terrible dream. And what he does in his family, if they had a frightening dream, is they fast. But it's Shabbos. And in fact, the halacha is that, yes, he can fast on Shabbos, and then he has to fast on Sunday to make up for the fact that he fasted on Shabbos. But he's missing Kiddush, so he won't miss Kiddush because he did Kiddush Friday night. The dream was only Friday night, so he's fasting Shabbos day. But there is such a thing. Whether it's a good idea, not a good idea, whatever, beside the point right now. My point in mentioning it is, Oneg is a very flexible topic. It's that which brings you pleasure. Simchas Yom Tov, in the strict interpretation of Simchas Yom Tov, which I think is dominant, is that it traces back to the karbanos, the karban shlamim that you would bring, the shalmi simcha, and b'samachta b'chagecha.
Eating meat. too.
Yeah. Granted that the Gemara Psachim talks about it and says that it's for the men it's seeking wine and for the women it's something else. And nonetheless, but that's why I say the Rif is taking the view of Rashi. We have to come back to this in the Gemara. We're not done with this. There's a Sfasemis to see.
How are we saying that Beis Shammai's basis, what he's saying is, it's not that you can't move it to cut the meat, it's you can't move it from the shade to the sun to the shade.
Well, neither of them are talking about moving it to cut meat. It's where the meat's already been cut.
No, but the Mishnah starts Beis Shammai.
Oh, you're on the Mishnah. He's not on the opening line of the Gemara.
No, I'm coming back to the Mishnah.
Yeah.
The Mishnah says, Beis Shammai says, you can't move it to cut meat.
Correct. Yeah, no, the Mishnah is easy. The Mishnah is...
So we moved on to something else?
Yeah, we moved on to the opening line of the Gemara, the Vishavan line.
Oh, so this is not connected to...
Well, it's connected only in the sense that whatever category of Muktza I'm assigning in the Gemara is the same category I'm assigning in the Mishnah. When Beis Shammai says, you can't move this, even though you're going to use it to cut meat, what's Beis Shammai's rationale? What's his problem? Either... Per Rashi, it's klishem lachto le'iser. But then Tosus asks me his question and says, if it's klishem lachto le'iser, then why is it that I'm not able to move it litzara gufo? So I could take the Pnei Yoshua's answer. Right? I mean, Tosus's answer is, this shows you that it's mukta maski saron kis. But if I can't give that answer for Beis Shammai, then I'll give you the Pnei Yoshua's answer, that he follows Rabbi Nechemya, who says you can't move a klisha malachal le'isser to use it for a permitted purpose unless that permitted purpose is actually the main thing it's used for, in which case it's not a klisha malachal le'isser at all, effectively. Charlie, I'm sorry to be...
I'm sure you got it.
Okay. But that's the opening part. We're going to come back to this in the opening line of the Gemara because there's a Sfas Emes that we need to see to make some sense of that opening line. But that's the Mishnah. That's the opening part of the Mishnah, I should say. The second half of the Mishnah was regarding the animal hide. And what we said was, Beis Hillel is concerned, if we aren't going to let you put the hide out for people to trample it, then you might say, well, then I'm not going to shecht. I don't want to lose the hide from this animal. So Beis Hillel says, fine, you're allowed to put the hide out. Whether there is meat on it or not doesn't make a difference. Beis Shammai says, you are only allowed to move the hide in the event that it has meat attached to it. So the Beis Hillel says you are allowed to do this, meaning you're allowed to put it out for trampling, and you're even allowed to move it for its own sake, both of them. And I brought you sources to demonstrate that Beis Hillel is saying both of them. If you take a look, it's...
I would say you move for shade.
Yeah, apparently. Whatever function I identify for it. Right. Yeah. If you take a look, it's source Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch.
So it's not Muktzah at all, according to Beis Hillel.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. I mean, read what the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah do. Shulchan Aruch writes in Dalet, Behema shenishchata b'yom tov, mutar lahagbia ora, v'litnam b'kom adrisa saraglayim. If the animal shechted on yom tov, you're allowed to pick up the hide and put it in the place where people step. Ava pi she'en alav basar klal, even though there's no meat on it at all. That's the straight line from the Mishnah, from Beis Hillel. So the Mishnah Berurah on that, on lahagbia ora, you're allowed to pick up the hide, he writes, Lagbia ora wrote Salomar letaltila, meaning to pick it up, ulahanicha b'makom mishumar, and to put it in a place there it's protected, o mechama letzel, or to move it into the shade, kadesh lo tipase, so that it won't be lost. In other words, what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is, lahagbia ora is separate from litna b'makom drisa saraglayim. Picking it up can be for anything.
But that's the way I think the Mishnah reads.
But that's what the Mishnah means. My problem was, my question, and what made me look at this was, because I wasn't sure how Beis Hillel read. Because look at the line in the Mishnah again. It said, Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to put the hide in front of the tramplers, and you're not allowed to pick it up unless it has kazayas meat on it, and Beis Hillel permits. I don't know if that's on both, or only on the latter half. That's why I looked at this to see. And yes, Dalet in the Mishnah Berurah makes it very clear, as he says, Beis Hillel is permitting picking it up to put it in safety just as much as to trample it. The Af al Gav, and even though, he continues to explain, even though the Ba'alma or Lach, I added in the brackets, I think, the Eino Roy Li Yeshiva, Asur L'Taltalo, even though normally you're not allowed to move an animal hide that's still moist. And the reason being, because no one's going to sit on it at this stage, so it has no function. Asur l'taltalo normally. Ukedileel b'simen shin chet sif chaf aleph. He tells you where to look for that law. Ha ha hikilu. Here they were lenient. De'ilo sharis lei, because if you don't let him do this, lo yishchot, he won't shecht, va'asi limnuei misimchas yom tov, and he will refrain from enjoyment of yom tov.
I just want to go back to Howie's point, because I think we've been asking this question a number of times. So simchas yom tov is because it has certain connection to a deraisa or something to do with shlomim, right, or something like that.
That's the narrow interpretation I'm taking right now. Yes,
right. But if the word were changed to oneg yom tov, right, he might not be allowed to do it.
Except there's no such thing. Oneg is a Shabbos law. The karasal Shabbos oneg. It's a shah. Oneg, there's no mitzvah of oneg. Right, so there's a sefer oneg yom tov.
Right,
but that's the argument that I would put forward.
But theoretically, if there was a concept of oneg yom tov, right, if there was, then he probably wouldn't be allowed to do it.
I'm just as not sure of that as I am about whether you can expand simchas yom tov beyond the narrow idea here.
Okay.
My problem with expanding it, just on a very simple level, is that our Gemara doesn't, when it so easily could. We're being very narrow about moving the chopping block in order to shecht meat, or all the other Simchas Yom Tov cases that we gave that also revolved around being able to shecht meat. What you do with the birds and the hide and the Kisui Hadam going back far enough, it all surrounded Shechita. I don't believe we have seen a single case in which there was a Simchas Yom Tov concern that was not about getting meat on the table on Yom Tov. So that's what makes me say that. In Hay, Sivkat and Hay, the Mishnah Berurah, his second comment that I brought, we said you're allowed to put it, the litna, the makom drisa saraglayim, the place where people will walk. Rotzalomar, meaning, v'chein hikilu, they also were lenient. In addition to saying you can pick it up and put it in the shade or whatever you want to do, they were also lenient. Shemuter litna b'makom drisas haraglayim. You can put it in a place where people walk. Shayideha drisa misabed ha'orktas. As people step on it, that will work the hide a little bit. V'kevend lo mukcha milsa lehedya sha'ose mishum kain. And since it's not blatant that this is why he's doing it, it's not blatant to people that you're putting it out in the road so that people will trample it. De'evshar, shadcha kedei sheyeshvu aleha. Maybe he put it out there so that someone who's tired can sit down on it. That was his. That was the other possibility. In the parentheses, he explains, she'ikar yeshivasam ba'osavazman hayabaderach zu, because that's how they did sit in those days. That was the way that people sat down. Meaning, shodchen or obegadim agave karka v'yoshvin alayim. They threw down a piece of hide, they threw down some clothing, and they sat down. And that was it. So if I leave the hide by the road, it's possible that people will just assume it was a chair. So therefore, avali ketikun la'achar kil'achar yad. It's like this sort of backward type of affixing of the hide.
But you put down in brackets in the first part, deino ruli l'shiva.
Yeah, I know. Maybe people won't realize it's moist because they're not touching it.
So, based on the way that he's metayek the Mishnah, does that mean Beit Shammai is saying that when there is a kezayat basar, it just means that you're able to take the hide and put it into the shade? It doesn't mean that you're able to take the hide and put it so people stand on it?
That's a really interesting question. Is Beit Shammai making one argument or two? Is the fundamental question.
Based on the way he's done this, it looks like he's making two.
Well, we don't know. He didn't present Beit Shammai.
I know. Just
he gave. You're right that there are two separate points that are being made here with two separate justifications. Although one of them is necessary for the other, meaning if I can't pick it up, then even if putting a hide out in front of tramplers isn't the problem of Maris Ayin or whatever, it's still a problem of picking it up.
Right.
So one does depend on the other.
But you're able to pick it up without putting it in front of other people. In other words, you're able to take it from the sun.
So how would Beit Shammai feel about picking it up
if there's a
kezayis basar on it and then putting it out to get trampled? I don't know. From his wording, it sounds like that's also two separate points of disagreement. Because Beit Shammai's wording is separate. Right? And not only is it separate, but he does it in the reverse order.
Yeah.
First, don't put it in front of the tramplers. And second, don't pick it up unless it has meat. So yeah, I'd have to agree that he's going to argue in both. The Mishnah Berurah continues with what I think is a point that will enlighten us a little bit. When we asked the question of, well, you just told me that it isn't suitable for sitting on, right? There are two different ways I could look at this in terms of what the bar is, so to speak. One way to look at it is that you need to do something which looks like a mutter act. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is you have to do something which doesn't look like a prohibited act. It's a lower threshold. By saying it the way we've said it until now, it sounds like we have the higher bar. It has to look like it is meant for people to sit down on. And that's what gives us the problem, because we know it's not. It's a moist, fresh hide. However, look at it, look as he continues. He continues to say, "Velaratzu lasor alav." They didn't want to prohibit for him to put the hide out. "De'im kein mimna velo shachit," because the result would be that he would restrain himself and not shecht. "Mishum hefsed ha'or," because of damage to the hide, he'll lose the hide by not being able to have it trampled. "V'asi limnoi misimchas yom tov," and he won't have simchas yom tov. "Umihu," but he says, "davka litna b'makom hadorsin," you're specifically allowed to put it out in a place where people will trample it. "Aval l'shotcha gabe yesedos," but to extend it on pegs, "kadesha tisyabesh," so that it will dry out, "usser," that's prohibited, "mishum demukcha milsa deletzarecha or ka'avit," because then it's very clear he's doing that for the sake of preparing the hide. And he says, if you allow that, then you're going to salt it also. Which sounds like we're not even concerned anymore about what people see. We're concerned about what you might come to do and drawing a clear line. My point, though, is that it's a different standard now. Before, the standard was, we want you to put it out where people walk because it'll look like it's just a chair for people. Right? It's a place for them to recline. Now what he's saying is, we just want to make sure it doesn't look explicitly like you're doing it to work it, so don't put it on pegs. But anything short of pegs is going to be okay. You follow? It's a different way to present it. In the first way, it has to actively look like what you're doing is an okay thing to do. Now, it just has to not look like a bad thing to do. That's the difference. I have a much easier time, obviously, taking that approach. Okay. So the Gemara begins with a very difficult line, which we already jumped ahead to look at, but now we have to see it for real. The Gemara says, Tana, Veshavin, we learn that they agree, Beshame and Beshilel agree, Shem Kitzev Alav Basar, She'asur L'Taltalo, that if you chopped meat on this, you're not going to be allowed to move it. So the Sfas Emes asks two very basic questions. But before we read the Sfas Emes' questions, what bothers you about this line? They agree, Beishamay and Beisalel agree, that if you chopped meat on it, now you can't move it. What's the problem?
If there's buster on it, right, why can't you move it?
Is there basar on it?
I don't know.
No, right now there's no meat on it.
I mean, my difficulty is I'm not sure what the case is. Is this a case where they moved the Eli to the spot, despite what Beit Shammai said, and now they've cut meat on it, and now it's after that stage?
Yes.
Because there's no more permitted use for it.
There's no more permitted use for it. Right, that's ostensibly what they're trying to say. But is that what they said?
So unless you turned it into a Kaylee, like a regular Kaylee, and then for sure you can't use it. It's like the hammer where you have no more nuts.
But I want to go back to your wording. Is that what the line actually said? If you wanted to write a line that said they agree that where the meat is all done, you're not allowed to move it, Are these the words you would use?
No, because it sounds like cutting of the meat made it look so.
Exactly. It sounds like we're saying that because you cut meat on it, it's usser. That's what the. It's not just it sounds like. That's what the word's saying. They agree that once you chop meat on it, you can't move it.
I have a different question.
Yeah. Good.
The
Mishnah
says
too.
That Beis Hillel was mutter. You didn't have to cut meat on it.
That Beis Hillel permits what? No, Beis Hillel only permits moving it for the sake of the meat.
It cuts a little busser Beis Hillel material.
Yeah, only to move it in order to cut meat.
To keep it.
Right. So,
for me, this was already also before. The Eli was had some kind of a mukzah status before. Just because you wanted to cut meat on it, it's a lesser, I don't know whatever you call it, level of mukzah for Beis Hillel. That's why you're allowed to use it once.
Right, it didn't reduce the mukzah status. It just overrode the mukzah status.
Right. But now when he's done, I guess he put back to the more.
It's like using a hammer to smash nuts.
Right. But what it should have said, if the meat is done, if there's no more meat, then usser. This wording is strange, and the Sfasemes grabs it. If you take a look on your sheet, it's source of Av. The Sfasemes says, Kasha Lashon HaGemara, Shem Kitzev Asur. He says the language of the Gemara that says if he cut meat, then it's Asur is difficult. Lama lo amar kipshuto vishavin dishalo lekatzev alav basar shasur. It should have said they agree that moving it for a purpose other than cutting meat is Asur. That's what it should have said. The Gemara
said maybe there was some other thing they had to cut on it. In this way, they're essentially
but what?
There's nothing left to cut.
But what? Then it's not our discussion at all. Then it's a completely separate discussion about Mukta and Klisha Machal Isser. It has nothing to do with Simchas Yantov. The whole
maybe
point
there
of
was something else for Yantov they needed to cut on. In this way, there's really what they're saying is there's nothing left to cut. There's no more purpose to it.
There's something else to cut.
Maybe they have to cut some fruit on it or something.
But then you'd be able to move it again.
Right.
Or use it again.
No, that's not your case. I mean, there is nothing else, and nothing else is that you're going to say overrides the mukzah status.
Well, why don't you just say it's more for Beit Hillel than for Beit Shammai's statement? And once you've cut the meat on it, you're done.
Well, because once again, it's not. That's not what it said. It didn't say once you're done. Aside from that, it didn't say once you're done. Yeah, it said if you cut meat on it.
Right.
That's not if the meat is all gone.
Yeah, that's what it means.
But it's not. But that's the problem. It's not what those words. That the Gemara knows how to speak. It knows how to say moving it for something other than cutting meat is usser, which is what it should have said, including for other cases, Alan. Because we're not assuming this is just a straight klishim lachtali usser. The gam koshet. He says it's also difficult. Dilich ora pshita. He says, aside from that, if that's what you're really trying to tell me, that when the meat is done, you can't move it anymore, I didn't need the Gemara to tell me that. The Mishnah said so. Beis Hillel allows you to move it in order to cut meat on it. What game are we playing here? So the Sfas Emes says the following. He says, if I take the view of Tosfos, that the issue here is not Muktzah Machmas Yisr. The view is that, not Kli Mashem Lachal Yisr, I should say. But rather, it's Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. The problem is that it is a fragile and expensive item, Dekapit Alayu, and therefore he's careful with it and he doesn't want to move it. In Cain, if so, Kevan Dekvar Kitzev Olav Basar, since he already used it to cut meat, Hava Amina, that's the Heva Aleph, I would have said, we said in the Gemara Shabbos they compared it to Sichi, Zari, Umazori, these special tools that are very expensive. And that's what made it Muktzah. I might tell you, yeah, but if you use the Sichi, Zari, Umazori, or in this case, use the chopping block for something other than its normal use, maybe you've demonstrated that, in fact, you don't consider it so fragile. That you're okay with the idea of moving this thing around. Yeah, after all, you just used it for the meat, and you weren't makbid, that didn't bother you. So that's why you need to say this in the Gemara, kamash malan, and so it's teaching us, demikomakom asur, that it still remains asur, even though you chopped meat on it. The point isn't you finished the meat. The point is you chopped meat on it. Nonetheless, mikomakom asur achar kach letaltalo gam letzerach gufo. you will not be allowed to move it afterwards, even if it's for the sake of using it for a permitted purpose. That's his first answer. Or it is his answer, I should say. And then he says, I'll tell you something further about that riff discussion that we had, where we said the riff was following Rashi. He says, Lefizeh, taking this line of thinking, Hayef Sher Lomar Od, Digam HaRif Mefarish Ketosvos.
Can we back up for a second?
Yes.
Okay, based on his logic, okay, and if we're holding by Tosfot, that means the person has indicated that he does not value this, and therefore should not be looked at.
Hypothetically, and we're answering that it's not true. We're saying, I would have thought that that's the case.
Okay.
But we reject that. That's what the purpose of the Veshavan line is. The Veshavan line is to say, don't think that once we permitted him to use it for his meat, and he actually did use it for his meat, from that point forward, it's no longer Motsamach Hasisar and Kis. It didn't change anything, and therefore, even though you cut meat on it, it's still Usser. There is a weakness with what he's saying.
He does change it as a Kufa. He does say it in the end.
Yeah.
Right? Even a Sarah Kufa would be awesome.
Yes.
Right.
But because it's Mokhtamach Moski Sarah Kis. But the weakness in what he's saying is that it also doesn't fit the Gemara's wording smoothly. It's a good answer for his Pshita question, the fact that this line is obvious. But looking at the line in the Gemara, Vishavan, they agree that if you cut meat on it, it's Usser. Really, what you should say is, even though you cut meat on it, it's Usser. That would be a smoother read within his approach. Nonetheless, one last point within this. He says, the Rif, who we brought in Source Bays, who said that they agree that you're not allowed to move it, right? But he says that's only Chamal Etzel, but you're allowed to move it, Tzarech Gufo, Tzarech Mekomo, which made us assume that he is saying it is a Kli Shemach Tol Yisr, right? That's why you're allowed to move it, Tzarech Gufo, Tzarech Mekomo. He says, not so fast. The Rif could agree with Tosfos. The Inachanami. It's really true, yes. That normally you're not allowed to move it, to use it for itself. But after you used it to cut meat, the riff is accepting the idea that we just said we are rejecting. That once you cut meat on it, the Rif is saying, yeah, then it becomes a Kli Shemalach Tol Yisr. No longer called a Motzamach Mas Yisar and Kis. So effectively, and this is the key, and this will make this clear, I think, there are two different ways that I can read the opening line of the Gemara. One way to read the opening line, the first way to read the opening line, if you will, which is the way Tosos will read it, is they agree that even though you cut meat on it, nonetheless, you can't move it for any purpose. Okay? Not Gufo, not Makomo, not nothing. That's the first way to take it. However, the second way you could take it is the Rif, as read by the Sfas Emes. And according to that, the opening line can be read, they agree that they, meaning Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, agree that if you cut meat on it, you're still not allowed to move it mechamal etzel, from sun to shade. But you will be allowed to move it letzarach gufo and letzarach makomo, because now it became a kli shemalach to leisir. That's the way that he reads it to fit the riff. Two different ways to read the same sentence. But that's all of it revolves around this question of, is this a klim shel nachta li'isur, or is this mukta mach masi seren kis? I had a question years back. Someone had one of these beautiful Megillot Shir HaShirim, and it was done with illuminations on the top and the bottom of the cloth, like cutouts with... it's cutouts, and underneath you have all these colors that are, you know, making a design for each column representing something discussed in that column. And he wanted to bring it to shul for Shabbos Chol Hamoed Pesach when they had a lein shir hashirim. But he wasn't sure, is it Motzamach Mas Chisaron Kis? Because, you know, normally he doesn't handle that. It's a very expensive piece of artwork, but you think about it, you've got this beautiful Megillat Shir HaShirim, but Shir HaShirim is always read on Shabbos. So you can be out of luck to actually use it for the reading of Shir HaShirim.
So you didn't bring it?
I told him to ask his rabbi.
What did the rabbi say?
I didn't ask.
Didn't give it on any red mortar.
In and of itself, no.
Yeah.
Even if it's the best.
All right, I think we're going to pick up with that, God willing, next time.
Sorry.